All right. Welcome again. I get the pleasure of sharing the five spiritual faculties, how they balance each other out, their functions, while Suze will share stories and examples of how they weave in our daily lives. So the faculties or powers are inherent to each of us. Like the faculties of the seven factors of awakening. And they are how we navigate the spiritual journey. And they are faith or confidence, energy, mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom. The Buddha emphasized the teachings as a whole, are like a raft for crossing over to peace and happiness, liberation from suffering. The Buddha said, I teach one thing and one thing only, suffering or dukkha and its end. In one sutta, he uses the five faculties to express this. It's really a verse. By faith, flood is overcrossed. By vigilance, the sea. By effort, dukkha is overcome. And by wisdom, purity. So these five faculties are essential and expounded upon in many other Buddhist lists. They're in the Eightfold Path and the Seven Factors of Awakening, as I mentioned. They work against greed, hatred, and delusion. They are said to become natural leaders for liberation. As I mentioned, I'll share their function and how they influence and balance each other to awaken the heart mind. Well, I'll be saying them in an order, but they really not 1, 2, 3. But the five spiritual faculties have been described as a chariot with five horses. The lead horse is mindfulness. Mindfulness is the gatekeeper that protects against the armies of Mara, the term the Buddha gave to all unwholesome mind states. Behind mindfulness are faith and wisdom, and following them, energy and concentration. Wisdom and faith balance each other. Effort and concentration balance each other. They have to be regarded as a whole, says Ed Conz. Their balance and harmony is almost as important than the virtues themselves. They support each other to some extent, but they must be used to correct the excess of the other. They can get in each other's way. The five are said to be powers when they control or master their opposites. Confidence masters doubt, energy masters laziness, mindfulness masters heedlessness or lack of mindfulness. Concentration masters distractions, and wisdom masters ignorance. So, mindfulness has the function of remembering to pay attention. And some of this might sound like very picky to say, but it often follows energy on the list. It needs energy so it can catch greed, hatred, and delusion before they hijack the chariot and drive off. Unlike the other faculties, you can't get enough of mindfulness. And then, therefore, I've kind of held it throughout this talk. So faith in Buddhism is different from other religions, which seem to require an unexamined faith, a faith in something out there that's going to save you. In Buddhism, faith is not a belief, but rather a confidence and conviction born of seeing truth. When truth is seen, there's nothing to believe in because we see it for ourselves. So don't take what I say as truth because I said so. Come and see for yourself. The Pali term, ehipassiko. Just like we get raft when it reaches the other shore, we also let go of clinging or attachment to any teachings or the Buddha. We're responsible to walk the practice, the path through our own wisdom and understanding that salvation, as I said, doesn't reside outside of us. So faith needs wisdom, though, for intention and navigation along the path. Wisdom needs faith for inspiration and conviction to stay on the path. Wisdom takes the hand of faith to ensure it doesn't become gullible, and so it retains clear, verified seeing and does not fall into blind faith, as I described above. Faith takes the hand of wisdom to ensure wisdom doesn't become robotic or purely an intellectual concept or exercise. But without faith, we'd be in a boat without a paddle because we'd lack motivation to go anywhere. At first, we find it outside ourselves, in other people, teachers, the Dharma. Then it resides in us as a verified faith. I remember sitting through pain of the body, watching the elements at work. I found relaxed, concentrated states after pain just broke into pieces and disappeared. We also can be less touchy, as I wrote. We are more patient and generous. We take more time instead of rushing through to the next task. These are verified experiences. We trust more, become more spacious. We act for the benefit of ourselves and others. We become more generous. And because we do matter, everything we do matters. All these direct experiences build an unshakable faith. And we are all here because you already have it. So suffering can be an approximate cause of faith when we realize that relying on the strategic thinking mind for navigation just continues the pattern of suffering. For instance, the mind wants more pleasure. Eat another piece of cake, drink another glass of wine, keep scrolling through the YouTube, check the news. Ultimately, we find ourselves back on the wheel of suffering because all the pleasure outside ourselves is ultimately unsatisfying. It doesn't last. We keep doing this over and over again until we rely on a power greater than ourselves that we don't quite fully know or understand. The choice, it is our choice to get off the wheel or not. Our trust in getting off the wheel is sparked of faith, says Rodney Smith, Sim's co-founding teacher. I love that word spark because it has the feeling of joy or delight. Can you imagine following this path if there was a spark of pain? I mean, what? So we apply faith. When we apply faith, it develops energy to do something. And it keeps us moving forward slowly but surely. It brings the right fuel or effort to sustain attention on the present moment. So energy is the raw fuel. Effort is like the dial one turns up and down that we need to find for ourselves. It sounds simple, but the effort needed can be extremely difficult to balance in the beginning. At first, it's almost impossible to actually see thoughts or habits of the mind. To see and then stay with the breath and the body is like discovering another universe. This ability to land in the body takes so much effort. In time, the effort we use becomes gentle and patient, non-judgmental, and is like already working with us. We just let go and find the body and mind are present together effortlessly. Used wisely with mindfulness, effort serves to prevent unwholesome states from arising, and to get rid of those that have arisen and to cultivate wholesome states that have arisen and to cultivate wholesome states that have yet to arise. Energy, effort, and concentration balance between restlessness, distractedness, and their opposite, sloth, sinking mind, a feeling you've checked out. When energy is weak, we need to brighten our minds. I was speaking about this a little in the meditation. Brightening can occur from breathing in through the nose, which is sharper and cooler. And we meditate with the intention to pay attention to body sensations, sound and breath, feelings, emotions, and thoughts. That's our intention. But body posture is also important, to be sitting upright, alert, ardent, And we establish mindfulness, you know, right here in the moment. We keep coming back to that. Our energy needs to go there. And as I spoke about, when energy is agitated, if you're feeling distracted, we can focus on the exhale, which is naturally warming. We can also focus on sound arising of the breath for more concentration. We can also open to choiceless awareness or spacious awareness as a support when we're stressed, contracted, and tight. Here we're just open to whatever is available in the moment rather than picking a topic, an object. And this might take some getting used to, because we release ourselves into this spacious awareness that's holding everything already that's arising and passing away. Our thoughts are just playing in the background like clouds in the sky, and we can watch that without identification or attachment. The energy of noting can bring the mind to the present moment in any extreme state. Restlessness feels like this. We did this a little during the meditation too. If joy is present, note it. This will cultivate it. Instead of getting lost in these states, and we can really get curious about them, we can get close and intimate with our internal experience. And when we do, as I mentioned, a universe is opening to us inside. We also experience this intimacy in the outside world, like looking at something so intently, it becomes just astonishing, like the drops, dewdrops on grass. In preparing this talk, I came across a note about Emily Dickinson and how she held such interest and close attention to life. The commentary said, she lived a quiet life, saw few people, and spent most of her time alone in her room. Yet she was so attentive and saw with such sensitivity and precision that she could only sum up her experience in this way. To live is so startling. There's little time for anything else. Mindful effort naturally brings concentration when relaxed. This is like a form of listening rather than doing. With relaxed and balanced effort, concentration holds mindfulness steady on a single object or changing momentary objects or an experience. And concentration is naturally available, but when the conditions are ripe, these conditions ripe through effort to maintain that one-pointed attention again and again. And as the mind wanders, we keep bringing it back. It's heroic effort. Faith and mindfulness and energy. Then one day we find mindfulness naturally returning us to the moment without effort. That is magical. Excuse me. When concentration is strong and deep, the mind contacts wisdom. Wisdom is likened to a big footprint of an elephant, which contains all the other faculties inside. We may read about, listen to, and reflect on the Dharma like you are tonight, but to penetrate the truth with deep understanding, it must come experientially through meditation practice. Then, as one commentary says, we see a thing in its true nature without name and label. So we're not adding on assumptions and our perceptions. I've practiced concentration on retreat, during which instructions were to focus on the dissolution of things, paying attention over and over again to a dissolution, disintegration, breaking up of formations, to know their qualities and how long they lasted. I observed mosquito bites, shadows, swallowing, body sounds, sound vibrating, seeing movement internally and externally. And this kind of concentration uses diligence and continuous awareness to cut through unwholesome states, curiosity, and interest, 2. It perceives the inner and outer world as an alive process of changing phenomena. Everything that arises does so as something else begins or ends. You're breaking up. Okay, I'm going to go offline. Not really, but all right. Everything that arises does so as something else begins or ends. That sense of solidity is a concept that can be taken apart down to an elemental level. So these experiences chip away at the conventional sense of self and permanency of life. Here, the truth of impermanence, unsatisfactoriness, and lack of a central controlling self are known. We make mistakes to contact wisdom. One training suggests that we do an unskillful act with intention to feel and understand the suffering it brings. This could be like eating that third piece of cake or that whole bag of chips. To feel the suffering of what's unskillful plants the seed for wisdom and restraint in the future. When we penetrate the bare moment, there's a feeling of intimacy, open-heartedness, surrender. There's nothing to protect or defend. We're no longer triggered by selfishness and self-centeredness of the wanting mind. We're not at the mercy of sensual pleasures. We stop chasing praise, pleasure, fame, gain, because we see it as a never-ending, insatiable prospect. We see that all things are impermanent. There's more balance and less reactivity. We become grateful, and we're more at peace with the way things are. And our thoughts are more toward compassion because we see the pain in others. We see into the suffering all around us. We also see into the peace and joy of spacious awareness of what holds us, which is already existing, pre-existing. We feel into that expansiveness and goodness. We have met and fallen in love with solid ground, as David White writes. And Rodney says, what remains when self falls away? Wonder. He used to say love, but when he had his latest talk, he said wonder. This renews confidence and refocuses energy to keep moving along the path. As the Buddha said, we're not in the world, but we are in the world, but not of the world. So we can check with our practice using these 5 faculties. Where are we placing our confidence in the moment? What motivates our practice? And do we recognize wholesome qualities that arise? How does the confluence of these capacities align with our actions throughout the day? Are we aware of where our mind is, and is it leading to more confusion or freedom? I'm going to move quickly as I'm noticing the time. So it's like we're constantly tuning a musical instrument that is our life to align with liberation. So faith inspires us to pierce through pain, stress, and fears, to walk the practice always. The Buddha said final knowledge is achieved by gradual training, gradual practice, by gradual progress. And I will close with a poem by Wendell Berry called Being Watchful. As soon as I felt the necessity to learn about the non-human world, I wished to learn about it in a hurry. And then I began to learn perhaps the most important lesson that nature had to teach me, that I could not learn about her in a hurry. The most important learning, that of experience, can be neither summoned, nor sought out. The most worthy knowledge cannot be acquired by what is known as study, though that is necessary and it has its use. It comes in its own good time and in its own way to the man, woman who will go where it lives and wait and be ready and watch. Hurry is beside the point, useless, an obstruction. The thing is to be attentively present. To sit and wait is as important as to move. Patience is as valuable as industry. What is to be known is always there. And when it reveals itself to you, or when you come upon it, it is by chance. The only condition is your being there and being watchful. Thank you for your kind attention.